Hey there, welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name's Steve.
You're not Rochelle. Don't even try to think you're Rochelle. You come in here, you're on the mic, you're trying to replace the second most important part of the show. You come in with your face and your hair.
Well,
and
I thought maybe
you're never going to be. You're never going to replace Rochelle, so don't even try. And so,
I don't know, man. Like, kid kind of looked like he liked me when I looked at him. I don't know.
Rochelle is sick. It happens. It happens a lot more often, it seems, when you have a kid around. Those things are like disease magnets, I tell you. Like, I've been sick a few times, and don't get me wrong, I love my child. It just likes to pass along diseases and grossness.
Do you have any hand sanitizer or anything? Because that kid, I had my thumb deep into his mouth. going to town on that.
You are so screwed. Let me just give a bit of a heads up. This is Steve. He's filling in for Rochelle. She's sick. We haven't done a show in like a week and a bit. So I said, hey, Steve, want to come over and do a show? And he says, yeah, I'll do a show and stuff.
Well, pretty much. I mean, it was
as long as you make me grilled cheese sandwiches and soup, I'll do your fucking show.
It was delicious.
It was great. We have a website, tiptaptip.com. That's where you go and do stuff like subscribe to our podcast. You can also comment on there. It has links to our Facebook and our Twitter. You can go to there as well. If you have a smartphone, whether that's an iPhone, various Android-type phones, you can get the Stitcher app. We are on there as well. It's a very convenient way to check out our podcast. It's, if you don't happen to hook up your phone to a computer very often, there you go. Because Apple's podcast app sucks ass.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
What's been going on other than being sick? Went up to Edmonton, got back, watched The Room for the second time. Now, I had seen it before. Just a bit of a heads up. The Room is this movie which came out about 10 years ago by this gentleman named Tommy Wiseau. It has got a bit of notoriety over the last few years because it is kind of quietly turned into this cult favorite, you know, in much the same way that the Rocky Horror Picture Show is. A lot of midnight screenings, people dress up, do dumb shit, throw stuff at the screen, yell things, etc., etc.
Spoons, footballs, what have you.
Yeah. So, you know, I happened to mention to Steve that, oh, hey, The Room's playing tonight in Calgary, and people are going to be dressing up, and he hasn't seen it, so we watched it this afternoon.
And it was so bad that we're going to see it again tonight.
Now, I'm going to talk to you about this movie from a... because you have more of a video background than me. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the things that you might have noticed that, say, like the typical, like, you know, Joe movie viewer would not have picked up on?
The weirdest thing was the amount of green screen for what equates to be a small indie movie. It was ridiculous. Can you swear on this?
Fuck yes.
Okay. Yeah. The amount of green screen in this fucking thing, I swear to God, I don't know why they decided they had to, put it into context. You know the scene that I'm talking about.
The one on the roof?
Yeah, the roof scene.
Yeah.
There's entire chunks of this film that take place on a rooftop, and they've decided to green screen it when they've been filming in San Fran and could easily just find any rooftop in San Francisco to film on.
Like, hire, like, some sort of, you know, cheap casting or cheap location scout. Go, hey, I need a roof that kind of looks like it should belong to this set that I've built. Yeah. And I need to have gunfights on it and a lot of football throwing and stuff.
it
would have been like a week effort. Maybe.
But it all makes sense now. Cause before I actually saw the film, I was telling Eric, I knew of it because it was supposedly the worst movie ever. And also, it costs $6 million.
And it doesn't look it, but because after we watched the movie this afternoon, we watched about a half-hour interview with the filmmaker and one of the actors in there. And he, like, the way he explained the movie, you're kind of racking the tally up in your head going, okay, that kind of makes sense why you pissed all that money down the drain doing all this dumb shit. Like, okay, for instance, okay, two cameras. He had two different sets of cameras being filmed at the same time. One was your traditional film type camera. The other being, I guess, like a video. Yeah,
I guess it was a high def camera or something.
High def camera, mounted side by side on the same tripod. Apparently, he recorded the movie twice in two different formats.
Because he just didn't know where technology was going in 2003. So why not shoot it both ways?
Why? Just hedging your bets, apparently.
I can guarantee you the editor on this film went and got both. He had a bunch of cans of film.
Yeah.
And then he had this tape full of film, just the digital data. We never saw a single frame of film.
I would picture. Like to see, like, you know, if assuming that original film footage still exists, the actual, like, the same movie, but edited in the exact same way, but with a difference.
I guarantee you it would actually look more expensive.
Yeah.
It would totally look
better. Okay, well, there's a $6 million movie.
Or it's possible, you know, that on the film side, it's actually shot so you see the other actor that are playing the roles.
Oh yeah, because apparently he had backups of backups of backups actors.
Yeah, every actor in this film had an understudy because he comes from a theater background.
Yeah,
and it's his large film. He's like, well, they have to have an understudy just in case someone breaks their arm on set. I guess I don't know what the rationale was.
That's where you get insurance for films, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But. I'm going to post a link up to this. Apparently the full version of the movie, all hour and 40 minutes of it, is available on YouTube. You can watch it yourself. And, I don't know, like
it's amazing, man. Like, okay, put this into perspective.
Yeah.
The average episode of like a Game of Thrones or a Mad Men costs $6 to $8 million.
And it looks it.
And you can see it, right? It makes sense.
Tons of actors, like, you know, lots of special effects.
Yep, filming on location, not on one soundstage for this half the film.
Yeah, there's really like, there was the room, which, you know, which the movie is titled after, which looked like should have been called The Set. there was, you know,
the bedroom. The bedroom has a big scene.
Let's get into that. Like there were certain scenes on here which were verging on softcore.
Oh yeah, it's total Red Shoe Diaries going on this thing.
And interestingly enough, like for one of the sex scenes between Johnny and Lisa, they repurposed some of the footage that they used from earlier in the film. $6 million, I think you can. I think you did bring up a good point. Maybe it's just that actress was just so tired of taking her clothes off all the time.
And having this weird, was he Armenian? That's the big question, right?
Where the fuck are you guys? Right? Oh my goodness. You can watch yourself. But when you do watch it, just keep in mind that he takes this all completely seriously.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of his ass in the first, eight minutes.
Yeah, why? Of this thing. Why? Why did you do that?
Yeah, like, you got a great 20-year-old chick, beautiful wreck. But keep in mind, he directed this thing, so he got to make the call on what we the viewers see during these sex scenes. Well, all you end up seeing is this really sinewy, weird-looking dude grinding up on this chick,
and she's just like, and she looks a bit bored. She's anyways. Moving along. Check it out. I'll post the... You know what? I'm going to post the whole movie on our Facebook page because somebody uploaded it to YouTube. That's somebody else's problem. So you can watch it from there or you can or just watch it on your things and stuff. You know, the things you plug in the TV to watch the YouTube and stuff. We got news and things. I was a bit apprehensive because I know that we have some Eurovision clips. But I'm like, oh, what if Steve is like Eurovision? So I kind of overplanned, but I think we will get into that a little bit later. But this is possibly the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Coming from Florida, where it seems that all sort of weird crime stories happen to originate, I'm not going to preface this too much, but I have to say that this guy is begging for a remix. He's begging to be auto-tuned, because I'm also glad he's not my neighbor. Okay. And I'll just say that much.
I fear for my life sometimes, you know.
Ask any neighbor and you'll hear similar stories.
I'm just glad that I don't have children.
About the one man making life miserable in this neighborhood.
He's a scary person. especially when he gets violent.
They're talking about Dale McDaniel, a 52-year-old Florida native who's been arrested time after time, over 30 arrests in Pasco County alone.
He'll curse you out with every four-letter word that you've never heard of. I mean, he doesn't mind yelling it to the neighborhood.
Neighbors say he not only drinks a lot, they have to watch as he relieves.
And he clearly gives no fucks.
Who is this guy?
Well, you'll hear him talk.
Leaves himself, too.
He peed right here against his own house.
With a TV, garbage, even dead fish, you can see what Dale's front yard looks like.
It's but the neighbors best yard say sale that's in the world.
Yeah, that is. Okay, just to. This gentleman has a canoe, probably a broken TV of some sort.
Looks like a lot of extra sod you could probably buy by the pound in the background.
And he gives no shits.
Least of their concerns.
I have seen him run down the street chasing a guy over here with a chainsaw running. He lifted a chainsaw last week at me. You know, I can't take it anymore.
Some neighbors are so concerned over McDaniel's history of violence, they've filed restraining orders.
He has physically put his hands around my throat in the past. Yeah, I'm scared of him.
We found McDaniel having a beer in the front yard and confronted him about his neighbor's long list of complaints.
They've had problems with me for years, and I ain't worried about it.
Yeah. Some of the neighbors said they're afraid of you.
That's a good thing.
He admits.
This guy's the ultimate, man. Holding a tall boy. He's got a Marlboro. And then in his right hand, he's
carrying a dead fish.
He's got a dead fish. God only knows. Hopefully he's cooking it or something.
You'll hear what happens with the fish later on.
Oh, the fish comes back.
Just hold on one second.
He's a heavy drinker.
I drink from the time I get done drinking my last cup of coffee. I drink till I go to sleep. And then when I get up in the morning, if I want another drink, I turn around and drink another beer.
He even showed off his chainsaw. As far as the violence goes, he says he's not out to start any fights, but
if somebody comes looking for a problem,
they're going to get one. They're going to get one.
Even this neighbor, confined to a wheelchair, admits he was assaulted in his own driveway, slapped in the face with a fish.
So that's what that thing's for. It's just tenderizing it or something.
He slapped a quadriplegic in the face with a
you know, I heard that's good luck, you know, whenever you do that. You're in a bind, slap a
quadriplegic. Look for trouble, they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Been arrested 34 times, going to get arrested 30 more.
He wants to hit somebody, he takes a fish.
Sheriff's office records show McDaniels has repeatedly been locked up or taken in for mental evaluations, but it seems he always ends up back here in his own front yard.
I ain't a menace. They just don't know how to deal with me.
I feel like I could get along with him.
He's the kind of guy, if you bring him a six-pack and to break the ice, be a good guy to party with, right?
No, it's like you get home.
You know you're going to get fish for dinner. Exactly. He's going to fry it up on his barbecue or whatever, and he's, you know.
How many fish do you think he goes through in a week?
I don't know.
Do you think that, like, so he always has the one in hand, and is there always one defrosting?
You never know who you're going to need to slap with that motherfucker.
Maybe it's only after work. Well, it doesn't look like he actually works. I don't know.
Well, he's in and out of jail, seems like.
That's his full-time job?
Well,
did you ever watch Mr. Show back in the day?
No, it's one of the shows I never actually got around to catching when it was on, and also even in reruns.
There's this character that David Cross plays called Ronnie Dobbs.
I've heard of this character.
This is the real life Ronnie Dobbs. This is insane.
Like somebody like this, like it seems like such a caricature, but he's completely, I don't know.
He sounds like Sling Blade.
Yeah, he sounds like, yep.
Hash potatoes.
Yeah, so there you go. Ridiculous. If you're in Florida and you live next to this guy, be nice to him.
Maybe give him a fish.
Give him a fish and he won't chase you down the street with his fucking chainsaw.
Well, he's made it pretty clear what he loves in life, right? Fish, tall boy, pack of Marlboros, life's good.
Exactly. Bring a pack of smokes, tall boys. There you go. You're good.
Best of friends.
Best of friends. Party on. Mr. Man. Oh, my goodness. So moving along. I don't know how I probably move along from that. But anyways, speaking of Florida, this is another story coming from Florida. And I've actually followed the quite possibly the best Twitter account I've found in recent memory. It's called Florida Man.
Florida.
And what it does is it's a collection of news stories which involved crimes committed by Florida men, and they're usually the most fucked up things. This is where I happened to find this last clip, and this is actually also where I found this story here. A drunk man, surprise, was arrested after he was spotted standing on the front porch of a residence with his pants down around his ankles, pounding on the door and yelling loudly. Police were summoned to the residence by a man who said there was a trespasser at his front door and who wouldn't leave. When the officer arrived, he spotted the 34-year-old man standing on the front porch with his pants around his ankles, his ass exposed. He was yelling at the resident who was inside. The officer noted the half-naked man's speech was slurred and he reeked of alcohol. At one point, the man fell down in the front yard. When the officer helped him up, the man said, "Man, I'm too fucked for this." And resumed yelling. Several neighbors came out to see what the ruckus was about. So,
well, I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable response.
I'm sure at one point in my life I've done something similar. I've done a lot of stupid things involving drinking. Maybe not having my pants around my ankles, yelling at a door and trying to knock it in, but...
Okay, well, first, was it his residence? Do we know that?
Well, it didn't specify in the story, so maybe he was locked out, or maybe he was confused. Maybe he actually lived in the house next door.
Okay, first of all, it's Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, scenario one, mm-hmm. It is his house. Perfectly reasonable. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. We've all been locked out of our house once when drunk and have had to take a crap outside or peed on the house or whatever.
It happens.
It does happen. And then what do? After you pee, you forget
sleep
where
in
you
the shed. You sleep it off and you...
Then you go back to...
You make a bit of noise. You pass out on the front lawn.
You wake up the next morning. Life's good, right? Mm-hmm. Scenario two, he's banging on the next door neighbor's house, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Florida. This is a common occurrence, isn't it? Doesn't everyone do this?
Florida seems like a rock and roll state.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when it, like, at least from the crimes that I read up on, it's everybody's getting drunk, having a good time. Or granted, there's like Clearwater, Florida, which is like Scientology town. But nonetheless, disregarding that, you know.
Well, Clearwater, Florida, I mean,
I don't know, maybe it's just, it's parts of like rural. That's one fucking word I can never say.
Rural.
Rural. Rural. Like non-city parts of Florida.
Okay, so he's too fucked for the police? Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. Like he was, how much trouble is this guy going to be? He might yell a lot, but in the end, I'm sure a couple cops can take down a drunk dude with his pants around his ankles.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to run very far.
No. Because he's only, in his own words, he's too fucked for this, so he's not going anywhere.
Too fucked to get his pants up, the cops coming by.
Didn't really specify, but I don't know what this is, but I think it's just the situation in general.
He'll be all right. All right.
So, that being said.
I will make it clear, I'm okay with Eurovision.
Okay.
Whatever the person who used to occupy this chair would be.
She's
cool.
Still alive. She's not like she's dead or gone or going.
I'm just saying.
She's just coughing up things and stuff. She can talk. But she sounds like this. Sounds like... She'll be back next time. Calm down, people. I didn't... You know, seriously. It's just one show. We'll get through it together. Deal with it.
I'm okay with Eurovision. I saw the, the Russian ladies,
because you were here for, Steve was here for our annual Eurovision party, and I kind of sprung it on him, because, you know, I talk it up a lot, best thing ever, and to me, it's like the World Cup, but it happens every year, and there's no soccer, there's just people singing and dancing.
I'll be honest, I was hesitant about coming until I found out you could bet on it on some of the websites online.
Yeah, you can. Who do you?
Well, I put money on the old ladies.
Oh yeah,
it was great. I can't remember the exact odds. It was like 6-1 or 8-1.
Yeah.
But they didn't pull through for me. But it was still worth it.
Yeah, one thing which is happening this year, there's a, I believe it's Switzerland. and this is one of the weirdest fucking things. I played this this song a while back. I'm not going to bring it up now, but their entire band is a sort of a Salvation Army themed band, right? And I'm not joking. Like, they're all dressed like, you know, like the Salvation Army type people.
Really?
I think they are all, in fact, involved in the Salvation Army in one capacity or another. The band is a variety of different people, one of which is a, and this is a fact, a 92-year-old man playing a stand-up bass. I know because I saw him in the video, and I said to myself, there's an old fucking looking dude. And I did the research. He's 90-something years old.
But you're the pro on this, right? Okay, novelty acts don't work.
Sometimes they do. Don't get me wrong. They have worked. I think it was 2006, Finland won for like a heavy metal-ish type song, sung by guys who could best be described as looking like the guys from GWAR.
Okay.
And they won. They won the contest. And
But the song itself was
It was catchy. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, but it's still kind of is rocking for Eurovision, which was kind of unusual, right?
I mean, putting money on those old ladies at the time, I mean, I did it as a joke. And sure enough, I mean, the song was crap. Well, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Party for everyone.
That's the one thing I don't understand. There seems to be this novelty guys. And then, was it last year? There was the wild card was like Engelbert Humperdinck was singing.
Oh, you haven't heard the worst. Is 1 year Ireland. This is, I believe... I think also the same year as Lord I. I'm not shitting you. This is the most fucked up thing. And there's no way either to describe it than a rapping turkey puppet.
What?
I'm not joking.
Like a puppet. A like puppet, a hand up this thing's
like
ass.
Like a puppet, like a Muppet type puppet. Of a turkey that rapped.
A rapping turkey puppet.
This is what represented the great country of Ireland 1 year. This is what they brought to the table.
I mean, a Kazakhstan or like something like that, maybe I can understand. But like Ireland, was the whole set design? Was it like hardcore lighting and smoke effects with this puppet? Or
I don't recall because like I was just kind of spotlight. I was fixated on this puppet, and I was just like, and I was just thinking to myself, what the fuck?
And he's the number one club act in Ireland.
Oh, right? I'm sure it's like ringtones, etc., etc. Yeah, like there's a lot of weird ones. Like even like Moldova always seem to be bringing the weird ones every year. Last year, not so much, but a couple of years before, well, they were the ones responsible for like the sax guy, which seemed to be a bit of a meme, etc., etc.
So what is coming through the woodwork this year?
See, it's still pretty early to tell because there's only like I've only heard about like 8 songs so far, and there's I think close to 40 which are participating. Nothing's really standing out for me so far. It's kind of.
What's a standout Eurovision track for you though?
Well, the last
obviously
year's,
Talking Puppets.
Last year's winner was good because it was interesting. It was a good song, and the choreography was interesting. But I don't know. I'm not hearing it. I'm not seeing a winner yet. We're still pretty early on, but who's to say? But we'll get to that in a bit. But this, we'll just speak about this. Speaking of Europe,
Europe.
Yeah, a German teenager looking for a job was told to report to duty in a brothel by the local labor office.
That is not a bad gig.
Oh.
Wait, what was he doing?
The 19-year-old woman said she was horrified when she opened up the job placement letter from the German labor office in Augsburg, informing her that it had lined up a waitressing job at the Augsburg Coliseum brothel. I was looking for a decent housekeeping job, not working at a brothel bar. I was totally shocked when I read the letter. My mom even started screaming out loud when she read it. Prostitution is legal in Germany, FYI. The head of the labor office was quoted by the newspaper as saying that the agency had made a mistake, even though they knew the Coliseum is a brothel. He said that the agency should have first called the woman to check and see if she might be interested in the job rather than just simply sending her a letter. So,
what was the letter actually horrified? Like WHORRI?
Oh, you. I don't have a. You know what? That's why I keep this around.
Oh. I didn't know we were like a morning show here.
I don't bring that out every but
I apologize for the bad pun.
But
so did she go through with the job? I guess
no, not. Because you know she raised a stink. They said, "Oops, we screwed up," and that was that. I'm sure she got her really fucking awesome housekeeping job.
What better job could you get?
Imagine the tips, dude. Imagine the tips.
Oh, the tips.
All she has to do is waitress. She doesn't have to sit on the laps. She doesn't have to drink naked.
Oh, it wasn't like she was cleaning any of the rooms or anything. Now, if you were, you know, if you had to do the laundry in that place, that'd be a little fucked up.
Exactly. So, anyways, if you have any topic ideas, any questions, stories, anything you want to share, send them to info@tiptaptip.com. That's our email address. It's a place where you send the stuff and junk. We like getting stuff. We also like getting voicemails occasionally, not that often. Why don't you do this, people? 310-584-7827. That's 3105-TIP-TAP. It costs me nothing if you phone. It costs you nothing because you'll probably Skype it in or whatever. But call it. You know what? Here, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. What you can do for me this. Get your smartphone, and you know that boyfriend or girlfriend that you broke up with, but you're still kind of fixated with. What you do is you take this number, 310-584-7827, put it on your phone under their name. That next time you're drunk and you're getting all emotional and weird and you feel like drunk dialing them, you'll be drunk dialing us. We get the entertainment. You get the advantages. You don't leave a stupid message on their machine, saving you face. And it's a win-win situation. So just do this, 310-584-7827. Or if you just want to leave a regular voicemail message and just call us, we will also accept that.
Do you promise to play them if they come in?
Oh, I will play everything. I will play everything. Assuming that it's nice and funny. Which basically means I played everything.
I don't know how funny it would be if you heard me just like drunk calling an ex.
You know, I was just sitting here in the bar. They're playing our song, you know. Dude looks like a lady. I thought of you.
I couldn't stop thinking about that rack and that big dick. Oh, so beautiful.
And I'm sorry, you know, we've got different ways that we changed over the last few years.
I'm grown up now.
But you know what? There's no reason we can't connect again.
All right, buddy, you gotta go.
Beep. Thank you for leaving a message at Tip Tap Tip. Exactly. Another Florida story. This is why that's like the best.
Yeah, you just go to Florida website.
Oh, man, that's like the best Twitter account I've ever seen. Florida Man Twitter. Just Google that. It's the best. The best. A man was arrested repeatedly for repeatedly calling 911 after the owner prohibited him from entering the strip club with his cat, according to police.
He brought his pussy to a strip club.
Actually, I didn't see that one coming. It's like BYOP, eh?
He was probably just standing at the door, looking at the doorman like, yeah, I'm doing this. If CeeLo can get into a strip club with a cat.
I brought my own.
Like, all right, buddy.
It's all good. It's all good.
Cover's free, right?
When the strip club's owner told the man to leave, he sat down outside and called the cops. All right. When the police arrived, he appeared intoxicated, prompting authorities to call him a taxi. He refused to tell the taxi cab driver where he lived. Instead of going home, he kept calling 911. Despite the police presence at the scene, police then arrested him.
So, you know, the operator on 911 on the other line, they're like, oh, are you the same guy with the cat?
Yeah. Meow. It's me.
I'm sorry, you have a talking cat?
Yeah, okay. Do you like music?
Yeah, I like music.
Because I'm not going to play any Eurovision music. But I'm going to play something equally as good. This is something I found on the internet, the best place in the universe to find things. You like rap music? We all do. Everybody likes rap music.
Love the raps.
But sometimes, you know, if you're wanting to connect with the youth, you have to speak their language. This is a song which, you know, tell you what, enough said. I'll just play.
Holy shit.
It's the West Dubuque Second Church of Christ youth outreach program.
Well, I wrote this song for the Christian youth. I want to teach kids the Christian truth. If you want to reach those kids on the street, then you got to do a rap to a hip-hop beat. So I gave my sermon an urban kick. My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ
is what?
Is Brigger? What? What can he say? Let me hear it again.
It's getting bigger.
All right, let's play finish the rap, okay. Right?
All right.
Fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my...
Oh my God. I will never say that.
Okay, let's play Guess a Game again, all right?
An urban kick. My rhymes are fly. My beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is...
Is
it rhymes with
bigger. Is figure.
Is my figure.
Yeah, there. Yeah, that's right. That's totally right.
What's getting bigger? That's because Jesus Christ is my nigga.
You're not really good at guessing these.
I got this thing in my brain that says you cannot say these words in this descending order. And that was number one on the list.
Yeah.
He's a life changer, miracle arranger, born to the virgin mom in a manger, water to wine, he's a drink exchanger, and he died for your sins. I preach the word, that's my gig, and I rhyme better than Notorious Big. All the other MCs, I wish them well, but if you live in sin, you burn in hell. I'ma pass the mic to my lovely wife. She's a fly MC and the light of my life. So to bust a rhyme without further ado, take it away, Mary Sue.
Jesus Christ is my nigga.
What the hell?
He's the son of the original G.
Okay.
Anyway, Sandy.
Okay, whoever wrote this rap for this church, they obviously on the copy wrote it NIG-GA or some weird way.
Yeah.
So that, and they're just like, no, the kids all say that. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Listen.
She's a fly MC and the light of my life. So to bust the rhyme without further ado, take it away, Mary Sue.
Jesus Christ is my nigga. He's the son of the original G. And he was sent to Earth to elucidate the way that we should be.
What?
Like if another MC says, you're a freak, you're a lame butt rapper and your rhymes are weak. I don't get mad and I don't critique, I forgive him and turn the other cheek. I don't blaspheme and I don't brag, I don't cuss.
They'll put an asterisk in the O in God, but they say
they'll drop the N-bomb like it's nothing.
These guys, I don't know. Go on.
I don't blaspheme and I don't brag, I don't cuss, and my pants don't sag. I do exude a little Christian swag, and I'm proud to be an American.
Oh, Jesus Christ is a nigga. Let his light shine through ya. Let his love pop a cap in your butt and say hallelujah. Jesus Christ is a nigga.
Oh, that can't be the
case. He's a homie MC, JC, you see. He's an honest, caring, peace-loving nigga like me.
Wow.
If you do drugs and you think you're cool, you need to come to Sunday school. Put those drugs in a garbage can. Stand up tall, you're a Christian man. Word up. I'm freestyling.
I ain't fucking with you. Okay, these people got shot immediately after this aired, right? Like,
I don't know.
Or their the attendance of their church skyrocketed after this.
I don't know. I was doing a bit of following up from this particular church, and the church itself is no longer operational. So it was recorded about 10 years ago or so.
10 years ago? Oh,
maybe longer. But, well, apparently when...
Well, Notorious, Biggie was still alive.
No, yeah. When Notorious Big.
Yeah, yeah.
Was still around. So that's a thing.
Where do you get off thinking you can say that?
I don't know.
This is probably from Florida too, isn't it?
No, actually, I don't know. I don't know whereabouts this is exactly, but
obviously, yeah. Somewhere where the N word can be said repeatedly.
Just kind of drop it. Jesus Christ is my son of the original G. All right, that part was clever. I'll give you that.
Rapper. The whole thing was clever. If they didn't drop the N-bomb, I'd be like, hey, that's really positive. That's not bad.
The kids would love that. Oh, yeah, to say that word. Now things are weird.
Oh.
Okay, well, again, we'll put this up on our website. You can check it out. You can sing along to it.
You should make that my new ringtone. Yeah.
I can send you the audio file for that.
Please do.
It's like, ring up. Jesus Christ is my...
Oh, sorry. I got to take this. It's my pastor.
Exactly. This is an interesting story, which was sent in to us. A roller coaster. I think it was an artist who designed this. It's theoretical. It has never actually been built. But they've designed a roller coaster. You know what? I'm just going to let this guy explain because it is kind of interesting.
I'm Julianas Urbanas from Lithuania, and this piece is called Euthanasia Coaster. It's a euthanasia machine in the form of roller coaster, engineered to humanely with euphoria and pleasure kill a human being. It features a series of various pleasurable and thrilling experiences like G-forces produced by certain elements of a roller coaster. The death here occurs due to extreme G-forces produced by certain elements of a roller coaster. The coaster features two key parts. One is a drop tower, and another part is a series.
So just to clarify, this gentleman here has designed a roller coaster with the specific purpose that it will kill a human being by design.
This is actually engineered?
This is like, I'm sure he's consulted with physicians and with engineers. You know, right now it's just a scale model.
Well, I know, but like I'm saying, like he could build it.
If it was real, and if any human rode on it, they would be dead by the end of it.
Wow.
Because that's the way it's designed. It's designed to exert enough G-forces that it will just simply kill you.
Do you know how much shit they'd have to clean up after every
ride? Oh, man.
It'd be like a 40-minute wait just to get on each time.
Yeah.
I guess a bunch of old people.
You don't have to worry about people going on twice, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
Of loop elements. You are towed up to the top of a drop tower. You fall down 500 meters to achieve such a kinetic energy to ride all through the loops, to be exposed for 1 minute under 10 G force. Your blood is rushed towards lower extremities, so there is lack of blood in your brain. So your brain starts to suffocate. And when it starts to suffocate, usually people become euphoric because brain concentrates on the very vital bodily activities.
You get really high.
And it's not a fiction. Pilots usually are trained in human centrifuges to experience that. And you can see in a video, they faint. It's so-called G-log, G-force-induced loss of consciousness. To see the difference between the experiences of pilots and astronauts and the experience of rider, usually pilots experience such extreme forces just for a few seconds, while in the roller coaster, the rider would experience for 1 minute. So nobody has experienced this for such a long time. Take existing euthanasia machines or rituals. These are medicalized, secularized, sterilized. In roller coaster, I introduce a ritual of doing that. So ritual is brought back to the contemporary description of death. So in this case of speculating about the future, you might see it as alternative euthanasia machine for future human beings, either for dealing with overpopulation or if your life becomes too long.
Well, so anyways, I guess if you're terminal and you go, okay, well, I'm going to die anyways. Let's go with a bit of a splash.
Yeah, and you also have to kind of love going to Six Flags.
Oh, man.
I mean, personally, I would just take a lot of morphine and maybe watch another movie.
Exactly. But,
Their own. Would you do it? Would you?
I don't know. Okay, if I was terminal, you know, that it'd be pretty exhilarating for the period of time where you are conscious. You'd be like, yeah, and then, you know, the blood rushes to your feet, as he explained, and then you.
Then I guess you just
your
feel
brain
euphoric.
Suffocates and then you die.
You just have so you have a smile on your face, or you just get,
it's like you're given like the devil horns on the way down. You're like, yeah, and then
is there a point you think they have a photo that's taken?
Oh my god,
you know, like the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios
at the end.
Yeah, so it's just a bunch of guys just passed out, no one has their hands up or anything.
No, at the very end, like you get like a row of like three or four guys, two beside each other, just like. Passed over, slumped over, dead.
Your next of kin is collecting your body, and then there's just the
like a shitty Polaroid.
Did you want to buy this? It's $40. It comes with a frame.
Exactly. Memories last forever. How would you fuck? Like the best thing that they could do is on like the final loop. Just put something like at the end, which makes no difference at all because they're dead. Like they splash through.
A huge waterfall. Just say, fuck, whatever. Just give them some lasers. I don't know.
A bunch of dead bodies barreling through.
Two birds, one stone, man. It cleans out all of the garbage.
And that's where they take
expelled.
The picture. Just. Oh, my God. Would it be the best ride ever?
Now I might skip that morphine in a movie. Jeez,
yeah, somebody should really get on that. Well, you said it was like a 500-meter drop. That's like the initial drop was like half a kilometer.
Half a kilometer drop.
Yeah, because it has to reach a specific velocity to.
Oh man! Imagine you're at the climb of that, and you're just like,
oh
okay.
Wait a minute, hey guys!
Yeah, no, not like this.
Like this? Oh fuck! That being said,
yay, go euthanasia.
Let's move on to some more less morbid subjects, like Eurovision. Got a few songs kicking out the things and stuff. New one from Finland. Yep. New one from Finland. It's Krista Siegfried's song called Marry Me. Okie doke. If you say so. If you say so.
These are taken from the semifinals and stuff.
So there you go.
Really wants to get married.
Apparently. So that was Finland's entry, Krista Siegfried's Marry Me. In case you didn't guess what the song was called, because she said that a bunch of times. First song that I've heard so far that I think might actually do pretty well.
That would be right. That's a good entry.
It is a good entry. Like, I could see that getting in the top 10.
Catchy,
it's catchy. It's fun.
Cute. Or does it matter if they're like pretty hot and stuff in this?
Doesn't hurt. Does not hurt at all. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I put money on that one.
Yeah, so you put money in everything. I remember there's a message you sent me on my phone a while back. Was it Justin Bieber that you're betting on?
Yeah, I bet.
Was it the Grey Cup halftime show?
Yeah.
And the bet was something like, will he wear stupid glasses or not?
Well, there were two bets that I put money on because it was easy money. It was the first one was, yeah, will he wear stupid glasses?
Yeah.
And the other was, will his shirt have sleeves?
Oh.
Which was easy money because, I mean, come on. That guy's nothing but sleeveless when he's performing.
I've never done the research. I don't watch as many Justin Bieber live videos as you do.
I've seen Never Say Never.
Yeah, you have.
Dude, it's not bad. Seriously not bad. He's a good Canadian boy. Likes to get high, whatever.
All right, well, fair enough. You can't fault him for that. So there you go. Yeah, I like that song. I think it's good. Mm-hmm. We have a choice of three songs because I'm only going to play one more on this particular episode. So your choice is yours. We either have Greece, Germany, or Norway. Now, bear in mind, I've not heard any of these songs, so this is going to be all new to me.
Okay, let's take Norway.
Okay.
First. This looks good.
I do know the title. It is a bit questionable. Norway's entry, Margaret Berger, with her song called I Feed You My Love.
Don't we all?
Shut up. Don't get your mind out of the gutter, audience. We're not. It's all metaphorical. It's not. Has nothing to do with.
Well, you haven't heard the song yet, though. Maybe it's completely literal.
Maybe it's completely literal. Maybe it has something to do with loads being shot down throats and stuff.
Only in Norway.
They're European. They're kind of open to that kind of stuff. I could climb in a silent tree through the dark night. You listen to me when I whisper broken words in your ear. And you push me hard the surface, blinded heart, but you wake me up from the snow, where I was born, now I can see, the whole world is my heart, I can touch and feel. You dare me to face the attack, save for cowards. There's no reward, feel the heat. Oh, take my hand. I trust your word, bring the fire. I don't care if it hurts, I had the future. For cowards, there's no reward. I have the future on my
Yep.
I kind of like that song. It's pretty good.
That's my new favorite.
So that was Norway's entry, Margaret Berger, I Feed You My Love.
Not quite as literal as I thought it would be.
No, but still a good song nonetheless. It's two good songs that we've heard in one day. Better than all the shit that we've been hearing up to this point. I think this contest is beginning to get a bit interesting. I was a bit disheartened from everything I've heard up until this point. But now, okay, I see a few contenders.
Oh, I see a few. This is the trifecta. She's like super hot. The song's super catchy.
You are looking at that ass.
Dude,
look
at her. Dude, she's super cute. I was Googling images of her, and she holds up.
Doesn't she ever in that dress? Mm. I think that's all we're going to do for the show. I am done.
I gotta and go stuff. Feed my love.
You sick fuck. Anyways, you've been listening to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric. Steve's been sitting in for Rochelle, who is currently still a little bit sick. She's doing much better than she has been over the last few days, but still sounds a bit rough and might not be able to do an entire hour's worth of show. So there. She will be back next time, so before you unsubscribe, quit, hack our website, destroy everything we own, calm down. Take it down like 5 notches. She'll be back. I'm not a jerk. I haven't buried her in the backyard. She's still alive.
She's barely alive.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
Be quiet.
Someone should check in on her.
Take off her clothes and get that blonde wig off. You're not replacing her yet. If you like the show, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, etc. Tell them to check us out. Go to tiptaptip.com or go to iTunes and type in Tip Tap Tip on the podcast section there, wherever that happens to be, because they mix things up every time they do release a new version of the software.
Hurrah!
Etc. etc. What else we got? We got Twitters and Facebooks and stuff. I'm going to put the whole video of the room on our Facebook page, so you can watch in the splendor and the ridiculousness of that movie. Oh, hi. Hi. How's it going?
You're tearing me apart.
You're tearing me apart. Steve and I are going to check out that movie live in a weird, kind of creepy environment tonight with a bunch of fans who are going to be throwing shit, dressing up, being all bonkers.
Should be good. Thanks for having me.
So that's that. That is that. Anyways, thanks for listening. My name is Eric.
My name's Steve.
We'll catch y'all later. Bye.